Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 7 already of Journals of a Journeyman Bard. If you remember episode 5, I talked about stories and why I feel like they matter as much as they do. And I talked about stories and why I believe they're so important. And I sort of put out a question to see if anyone out there listening wanted to like join me in discussing stories that we come across and that really touch us. And so far no one has replied, but I am not giving up on hope. And so far, no one has replied, and I have listened to, and I just, and so far, no one has replied, but that's all right. I'm just going to discuss them on my own then. A few weeks ago, I listened to a story called Good Boy by M. Douglas White, published on October 2nd, not 7th, and also produced as a podcast episode for The Metaphor. In Metaphorosis magazine. And, well, the title says, the title already tells you that it's going to be about a dog. And since it's clearly established that I am a crazy dog lady, of course this story was something I looked forward to immensely, and it really, really hit home in many ways. I'm going to try to not have any spoilers in this episode. Personally, I don't believe that spoilers matter. A story is strong regardless of whether you know what's going to happen or not. If we have books or movies that we love immensely, we still love them and we love revisiting them, even though they're pretty much all spoiled at that point. And that's fine. Good stories can handle that. But I know that not everyone feels this way, so I will try my utmost best to keep this episode spoiler-free. So one thing that isn't really a spoiler is that the dog dies, because the story opens in the voice of, it sounds like an AI that controls a ship, because it does like its round of checks of the spaceship. It sounds like an AI that controls a spaceship because it talks about doing standard checks and stuff like that. But then, to pass the time, the AI cycles through its earliest memories. And its earliest memories are not of an AI. The earliest memories are of a puppy. And you think, oh, how? And the author got this really, really... The author did this really well. I'm no stranger to writing the POV of a dog myself. And it's not an easy thing at all. Psychologically, dogs are very different from us. Their brains work differently, they process things differently, they perceive the world completely differently. Things that matter to us are completely irrelevant to them, and vice versa. And this is really, really, really well done, as I said. And then you come to the point, of course, you already know this, that the dog dies, because at some point the dog turns into an AI. And it wakes up again in a body that doesn't feel pain. And the dog's happy with that. And he wakes up in a body that doesn't feel pain. And he's happy with that, of course, because he was an old dog at the time of his demise at the vet's office. In the vet's office, and he had like arthritic joints and all that, and he doesn't have those aches and pains now, and he's excited with that at first. But then he sees his new owners, and well, he sees, and then, but then he sees his owners, and he realizes two things. One, they transferred his consciousness into this new body. And two, the new body is a bit strange because he hears like whirring sounds whenever he moves. It's not quite as flexible as the body he knew before. And he sees his owners, but he can't smell them. And that's when you think, oh, because, well, that's where I thought, oh, anyway. Well, that's what I thought anyway, because for me, it was that moment that sort of brought home to me that the designers of this robotic body didn't do this for the dog's sake, of course. The dog doesn't know better. The dog didn't fear death because death is not a concept dogs have at the front of their minds a lot. But they didn't give the dog a sense of smell. And a sense of smell is how dogs interact with the world. It's their main sense. It's how they interpret the world around them. And he sees his owner, but he doesn't pick up the scents that usually accompany that sight. He's there not because his creators wanted to give him a longer, happy life. He's there because his creators tried. Because his creators got paid by humans who couldn't let go of him, and he's there for their comfort, not his own. So anyway, the body, the robot body, is well, virtually immortal, I suppose, because as long as he doesn't damage himself and as long as he keeps his batteries charged, he's pretty much fine. But his owners age, of course, and then he ends up losing them. And he like wanders around in a world where robots, humanoid-shaped robots, take over. They are where humanoid-shaped. And he sort of wanders around in this world where humanoid robots and he sort of wanders around in this world where androids, shaped like humans, are pretty much, like, ruling the place now. They consider themselves superior to humans. And they've taken over, and then he steps in between a man, a little child, and one of those androids, and he tries to protect them. And the android, well, pretty much beats him up, and he does some serious damage. But the humans, who at first were afraid of him, they see that he was trying to help them, and they come back for the little dog robot once the androids left. And they repair him, and he finds, like, he stays with them. But the thing is, this made me think of sort of, the slogans that we're going to see appearing again, that say a dog is for life and not just for Christmas. Because I realize that I'm going to have to say goodbye to my dogs at some point. my little henna girl is turning 12 in December, and she's still super fit and super healthy, but she's not going to be around for 10 more years. And thinking about that is painful, but at the same time, I am glad that I'm going to outlive her, because that means I'm always going to be there for her whenever she needs me. I don't have to, like, let her navigate the world on her own because I'm not there anymore. So I think it's a good thing that we tend to outlive our pets, for the most part. Because they bond to us for the duration of their life, not for as long as we want them. And the people creating these robot bodies and transporting their pets' consciousness into those are pretty selfish, and they didn't think that part through. And they didn't think that part through, obviously, because once they're gone, what happens to all those dogs? Do they get passed around from relative to relative until there's no one left to take care of them? It's pretty much what you see with sort of longer-lived animals like parrots. They bond very strongly to one person. But they can grow up to 80 years old. So if you buy one of those birds and you're like 20, you pretty much know that that animal is going to outlive you, and then it goes to a relative who didn't necessarily choose to take on that pet, and they get a traumatized pet too, because they lost someone they bonded to very strongly. Don't get me wrong, I love having pets, and I can't imagine life without them. But that's no excuse to be selfish about it. At what point do we start creating things, or acquiring things, or like doing things that will have consequences that we will not be able to take responsibility for? That's pretty much what this story made me think about. Because when you, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you create, that carries further and has more of an impact than we know. Yeah, and it's a good lesson to learn, I think. This story, the ending of this story, is so, so, so heartwarming. That when I was listening to it, I was in my car, and with those final lines that the narrator, who happens to also be the author, with those final lines that he says, I literally had to pull over on the side of the road because I was so emotional that I couldn't safely keep driving. And that's when I thought, oh, I want to share this story with people. I have to share this story with people. But then I listened a second time. And I listened a third time. And every time I listen to the story, it like gives me new ideas and thoughts to savor and to roll around the back of my mouth and to like roll across my tongue at the back of my mouth. until I fully digested them. And God, don't you just love stories like that? I wish I could write them. I wish I could write them. But anyway, we may get there one day. Have to keep hoping, don't we? We may get there one day. But anyway, we may get there one day. We certainly have to keep hoping. But yes, I would definitely advise this. I would definitely recommend this story, whether you read it or whether you listen to it. It is so worth your time and energy. And hi, Henna. Hi, here, speaking of the devil or the dog. Here she comes. Hi, Henna. Hi. Yeah, hi. Do you want to say hello? Hi. Where's my good girl? Where's my girl? Yeah. Sorry, where was I? Right. Recommend. I definitely recommend this story. It is worth your time and energy, as I already said. And I will, of course, leave a link to it in the show notes. If you listen to this story and if you want to talk about it or rave about it or tell me I'm completely wrong, I would love to know whatever. I would love to know. I would love to hear or read all of that. So feel free to email me or hit me up on Twitter. Those links too can be found in the show notes. And I'm going to cuddle some more doggies because she's feeling very much neglected. Because I have one right here feeling very, very neglected. And I will talk to you later. Good night.